if you're able to use that passion, reading the blogs and listening to the press conferences, if you're objective, you've just got more knowledge of those teams and or of the team that you're a fan of. And if you can remain objective, you have an edge.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Monday Night Football, in which the Seattle Seahawks took care of business, a 21-7 win over the Minnesota Vikings. Steve Fezzik, from a Vegas perspective, what was your big takeaway coming off Monday Night Football in Seattle?
I have concerns about both offenses from this game. Obviously, both teams very challenged, but we're seeing a pattern now, especially with the Minnesota Vikings. When they were at Chicago, they got 3 points in the first three quarters. At New England, only 10 points. And frankly, they almost got shut out last night. That Viking offense does not travel.
Yeah, it's weird. We know Seattle's always got that built-in home field advantage. I was surprised, and this is just from somebody who, again, like, you make a living out of this. I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm doing. Most of the time when I'm betting, it's because I've had 3-4 beers. But I was surprised that the betting line going into that game, it opened up at 1.5, right? And then it jumped up to 3. Should it have been more looking back? I know hindsight's 20/20, but knowing all that we know about Seattle, how they play at home, and Kirk Cousins in prime time, should it have been more than the 3 points that it settled at?
Always easy after the fact in the old time machine, but I believe so. Seattle 15-3-3 now, prime time at home. And let's face it, we've got two teams that have some of the largest home field advantage in the NFL. Seattle is my number one home field advantage team, and I think it might well have been as simple as who was going to be home in this game, and that was the side to look towards. If you recall, we leaned to Seattle last night.
Kurt, I know reputations, like that's what we do as just a standard sports talk radio host, but you, somebody who crunches the numbers and you don't really listen to narratives as much as maybe the rest of us do, you being a guy who's so good at picking lines, knowing how to pick winners, and you've got such an established track record, the narrative is out there on Kirk Cousins. He doesn't perform well in primetime. He's winless against winning teams this season, if I'm not mistaken. Do you, as a professional bettor, as somebody who does this and has a high success rate at it, do you have to start factoring that in when it comes to trying to pick a winner when Kirk Cousins is involved?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, going back, the fact that they're only able to put 10 points up, Cousins, at New England after what Miami just did to New England, I think it's a major, major concern. I don't know if the Vikings are going to make the playoffs, but if they do, they're a team I certainly want to look to fade.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was thinking about this. When we actually consider what the Vikings were a year ago, I think people just assumed they were going to take that next step. But if you actually go back and you look at how they got to where they were, I mean, that miracle finish against the Saints, they probably should have lost that game. You know, they got to the NFC title game. I think people just assumed this team's the real deal. They were going to have a more difficult schedule. The addition of Kirk Cousins, I think, is an upgrade. But then you had the injuries to the offensive line. They're just not getting the breaks like they got a year ago. So to me, I see them as not being as good of a team as the Minnesota Viking team of a year ago. That's clear at this point, but I don't know that it's necessarily Kirk Cousins. What other issues are you seeing just from a roster or a coaching standpoint? They already fired their offensive coordinator, a guy, John DeFilippo, who was being rumored for NFL head coaching jobs. What do you see outside of Kirk Cousins that's a problem in Minnesota?
Well, I think you nailed it with the O-line, because let's face it, the skill position players, Thielen and Diggs for number one and number two for wide receivers, is just spot on great, and they've had super production all year long, but the protection and the blocking on the O-line just has not been nearly as good this year as last year, and it has not traveled at all.
Now, to the Seattle standpoint, again, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik with us here on FSR. RJ Bell will be connecting with us here shortly. Some technical difficulties, but he will be here momentarily. From the Seattle side, Fez, man, I don't want to play them in the playoffs. I mean, you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, you've got a legitimate running game, and you've got a defense that can show up when it needs to, and an experienced head coach. Seattle's got to be a nightmare setup for whoever draws them in the opening round, and as it stands right now, it's looking like it's the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, I'm not so sure it's a nightmare draw, and here's why. Seattle, obviously, very effective running the ball. They were great last night. Couldn't throw the ball at all without Doug Baldwin. Who are they going to play in the playoffs? They going to go to Chicago? They going to go to Dallas? Maybe eventually to New Orleans? What do all those teams have in common? They all stuff the run.
Well, I mean, did you have to kill my point that soon into the show? Jesus, Fez. We're trying to do a legitimate broadcast here. You make me sound like an idiot. No, in all seriousness, though, the Russell Wilson factor, at this point, when you're looking around the league and you're starting to see teams separate from the pack, you look at advantages. Who's got an advantage? Where is your advantage? You'd have to say amongst, and I'm just going to kind of throw you on the spot here, amongst NFC teams in the playoffs right now, who would you take over Russell Wilson in the NFC right now at quarterback?
Well, certainly Drew Brees. And after that, it's a really short list, that, I think, number two.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have such an advantage. He's better than Trubisky. I think he's more dependable, especially after what we saw on Sunday night, than a Jared Goff. Look around. Dak Prescott, nobody trusts Dak Prescott. To me, that's why I think they're, if you want to call it a live dog, if you will, in the NFC playoffs. It's going to be fun either way. The AFC playoffs are going to be a blast to watch. The NFC playoffs are going to be fun. How this unfolds the remaining 3 weeks is going to be pretty remarkable to see how it plays out.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, I know you're a Steelers fan, all right, but you are not one of the fanboys that Kevin Durant calls out from time to time. You actually have an honest look at what the Pittsburgh Steelers are. They're in the midst of a three-game losing streak. They've got a tough stretch coming down the final three games of the season. From your perspective in Vegas, and also a guy who's followed the team for years and years and years, what do you make of the recent struggles in Pittsburgh?
Well, first, I think it's important to make the distinction that as a fan, it can be an advantage. And that's the caveat with the can be is driven by, are you going to be honest? Are you thinking with your mind and not your heart? Because one of the joys of being a fan is you get to think with your heart. You get to root with your heart. And you've got those emotions. And you know, as Colin always says, fan is short for fanatic. And it's fun with something that isn't all that important, ultimately, it's far from life or death, to be that into it. It's kind of ironic to say, because this isn't life and death, it's something we're much more comfortable being so fanatical about, because that's the fun. Now, the trick is, if you can use that passion to gain knowledge. So, for example, and I would say I'm not as big of a Steeler fan as I was 5 years ago. I just really, you know, I grew up near Pittsburgh. I certainly, you know, when the Steelers won four Super Bowls between my fifth and tenth birthday in the 70s, well, you know, and I'm an hour from Pittsburgh, I had the Terry Bradshaw jersey, right?
Yeah.
The little short, the little black, and the arms didn't go all the way down for some reason. And I tried to throw the ball. Back then, Bradshaw was the only guy that threw the ball with his finger on the tip. It was like a weird way he threw it, and I kept trying to throw it that way. It never worked. Huge fan. And then, you know, obviously in 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, there were just players I loved. I get it. If you played against James Harrison, you weren't a fan of James Harrison, right?
Yeah.
But I like those guys that you don't want to play against them. I can remember one of my favorite moments, and I get it. In this age of worrying about quarterbacks and all that, it's a questionable moment. But it was a preseason game, and Harrison intercepted a pass. I think it was against, for some reason, I remember Stan Humphries. But all right, it doesn't matter. It was an opponent. And he's running down the sideline, and the quarterback goes to cut him off before the touchdown. And Harrison turns and, like, tackles the quarterback. Remember, Harrison has the ball. He could have tried to score. Instead, he wanted to get an extra hit in on the quarterback. And I'm like, that's my team. I like that team. And, you know, and I love, like, even some lesser-known guys, Ryan Clark, Ike Taylor, just tough guys that played, you know, old school or whatever you want to call it. To me, obviously, I love Big Ben. I like a lot of the O-linemen. But some of these other guys I don't feel as much connection with. And I think in general, that's one of the laments as you get older. In my 40s, you're just further and further away. Obviously, if you're in your 20s, there's a big difference between you and a professional athlete, right? There's going to be a distance no matter what,
yeah,
right? But then if you add in the idea of that as you age and age and age, and now it's 20, you're 20 years older. I mean, it's kind of weird. We don't want to think about it too much as a society, I think, in the United States. But if you're 45 and you're wearing a jersey of a 25-year-old, there's something weird.
Right, right.
In a weird, there's something glorious about it too, though, right?
Like, yeah.
You can like, stop all reason. You cannot, like, be self-conscious. It's just, I'm a fan. And I'll tell you this. When the Steelers won it in 2005, in you know, very well-officiated game.
Agreed.
Seattle, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in LA for some business, event, and I was there with some friends, and Steelers hadn't won it since 1980, so they won it when I was 10, and then I'm 35, right? So, you know, it's been a while. I woke up next in the hotel room next to a toilet with a leather jacket on and no shirt.
There it is.
This is the truth. Two bottles of shit. Now, to me, whatever business stuff I've done, you know, I've had my fair share, fortunately, of successes. I don't think I've ever felt that pure joy the way I did when Pittsburgh won that first Super Bowl. And yeah, the next one against Arizona was nice, but that one, first in a long time, was different. So to some degree, I revel in being a fan, Jonas, but I also think, and you know, we can segue to this now, that if you're able to use that passion, reading the blogs and listening to press conferences, if you're objective, you've just got more knowledge of those teams and or of the team that you're a fan of, and if you can remain objective, you have an edge. And I would make a strong case. I've bet Pittsburgh probably their games more than any team's games because I know them better, and I would say I've bet against them more than I've bet on them in the last 5 years, but I certainly have the best winning percentage in Pittsburgh games. It takes discipline, but I think you can really do it if you're able to separate your fandom from your wallet.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Steve Fezzik, you have an early line move. You've been very good at this all year long. You've been sending side emails and badgering us to keep promoting how successful you've been at this all year long. So what do we got this week, Steve Fezzik?
Yeah, we are on the 49ers plus 5.5 hosting Seattle. I have many reasons why I like this game and why this line will likely move.
Okay, well, listen, first off, let's be honest, Jonas, is Steve is way too smart. I mean, listen, he graduated like with an economics degree from Northwestern. I mean, the guy's smart. Is he's not going to tell you, oh, tout my record, 8-2-1 right in front of the world coast to coast on these Tuesday early picks. And oh, by the way, line movers 7-1-3, three times the line didn't move. No, he's going to do sneaky things like put it in bold on the show notes. He's going to text you and then say, oh, oops, I meant to send that to someone else. So he's not as obvious on that stuff, but he is mighty good at it. So, Fez, let's start breaking this game down. First thing that strikes me, San Francisco is like a bad version of the Steelers in that they have really much better stats than their record. So right now, San Francisco has outgained their opponents on the season by nearly 300 yards. That's like the 12th best in the NFL. So if we used net yardage as a proxy for how good a team was, San Francisco would be on the cusp of the playoffs. They'd be right on the fringe. Obviously, this is a three-win team. So how do you balance in this case, hey, a lot of the bad breaks can be luck, but boy, if they happen to the same team again and again, maybe it's not luck.
Well, I think a little bit of it certainly is luck, but the fact that San Francisco is minus 21 in turnover differential, hey, they probably should be with a maybe deserved poor skills taking care of the ball, RJ. Okay, make them minus 10 year-to-date. Minus 21, light years worst in the NFL. That's just unlucky in my eyes, and it is really unsustainable that they're going to be that bad going forward.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.